Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green and the Rebel Room debut, filling in for the sick Ray Brewer, who's at home, probably with no comment. But Case Kiefer, who also covers UNLV basketball for us, went to the bullpen and called on the righty. How you doing?
I'm healthy. I'm 100%. You know, Brewer right now on the disabled list, but I'll do all I can to fill in for him.
He was hanging out with Derek Jasper today.
Exactly. they got to rest up for the tournament. I mean, there's no reason to waste him on a game like Wyoming.
Yeah, Derek Jasper, in case you were wondering, well, first, UNLV rolls, as expected, 74-56 over a Wyoming team that has continually deteriorated as the year's gone on. Derek Jasper did not play, missed his ninth game. With a partial tear of the medial collateral ligament in his left knee. He practiced Thursday, was sore on Friday, and they just decided, you know what, we'll shelve it and maybe wait another week. But everybody else looked healthy for the Rebels, who roll again 74-56. Trayvon Willis leading the way, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Chase Stanback, 13 points, 9 boards, and Oscar Belfield with 7 points, 8 assists, just 1 turnover. 4 rebounds, and I mean, really, you couldn't ask for much more out of a game that they should have rolled.
Yeah, I mean, you look down the stat sheet, and you can't say, I mean, there's not one UNLV player that had a bad game. I mean, everybody did what they're supposed to. Chase hit shots, Trey, huge game. Santee was really strong inside from the beginning. Just all-around impressive effort, and I mean, really, these last four games, they could have beat every one of these teams by 30 points, and pretty much did, so... Not too much you can ask for more going into the tournament.
Yeah, and look, we all knew they were going to get fat and happy down the stretch here. You know, Wyoming, like we said, deteriorating. You know, they lost their best player, Afan Mujeki, to a knee injury about 3-4 games into conference play, and then lost their second best player, actually, after they played UNLV the first time, just left the program. Decided he didn't want to be there anymore and just left. You know, they've got a... Their talent, the cupboard is bare, and we knew UNLV was going to do this. I think maybe more attention today was on the Utah-Colorado State game up in Fort Collins, because UNLV, of course, with the win, clinches the 3 seed next week's Mountain West tournament and gets the team in 6th place, which was going to be the loser between Colorado State and Utah. It was Utah falling in Fort Collins, getting swept in the regular season by the Rams, 76-67. The matchup that, look, people are going to be a little scared of because Utah's got them twice, but, you know, this is what UNLV wants.
Absolutely, and when I heard right after the game that Utah had won, my first reaction was, wow, this isn't good for UNLV because of the history we know with them. But I got to tell you, after listening to the players after the game, I mean, you know, of course, some questions they try to beat around and not make it sound like this is a big thing to them, but, I mean, make no mistake, this is a big thing. This is a big game to them. Trey right away came on and said, you know, we're kind of embarrassed. I couldn't ask for anything more. And, I mean, it's just so hard to beat a team as good as UNLV 3 times. I really think this is a good matchup for UNLV and gives them another shot at Utah.
Yeah, and, you know, last year we were beating the beat 3 times in 1 season drum going in the Mountain West tournament because UNLV was playing San Diego State, who they'd lost to twice. Now, that was a San Diego State team that was a bubble team in the for the NCAA tournament. Probably should have gotten in ahead of an Arizona, but, you know. Selection committee being what it is, they didn't get in. But this is a Utah team that is struggling. And look, the first time they played, Foster has a career game. Henderson is hitting NBA range threes from all over the place. The second time they play, Utah did not play that well outside of Carlin Brown. UNLV just played worse. And now you're going to fast forward to the third time. UNLV is rolling. Utah's reeling. And Foster's out with an ankle injury. Stars are aligned for the Rebels here, just like you said.
Right. And I think a big key, what I'm really looking forward to watch in this game is the play of Santee and Shaw. I mean, Santee in the first half today just all over the place, scored 5 of their first 7 points. If he can bang like that down low, it'll be big. And Shaw only played 8 minutes, didn't do much, but I mean, that's kind of what they needed out of him today, just get back and
get the rust off.
Yeah, get the rust off. And if Santee can play like he did in the first half and Shaw can contribute anything, I just think that I like UNLV's chances.
And remember, Shaw didn't get to play that first game against Utah. He was supposed to actually start and turned his ankle during pregame warmups. So a little
just
bit
a
of
freak.
Just a total freak thing. And, you know, he played 8 minutes, like you said, didn't even get a shot off. 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 foul. Nothing to write home about, but you need that game to get the rust off the legs, and they've got it. You know, looking a little more at this game and really this four-game stretch to close out the season, you know, they've won these four games by what I believe is a combined 95 points. Pretty much figured that they were going to spank all four of these teams. You know, none of them were close. I don't think UNLV even trailed really for more than maybe 5 minutes total in the last four games. You know, in my mind, the most important thing this team got out of this stretch was its ability. They've struggled to start games well this year, and especially today, they're really starting strong on the defensive end, and it's carrying over to the offensive end. And they're putting these struggling teams in holes that they can't dig themselves out of. And today, you know, what was it, 16 turnovers for the Cowboys in the first half. I think maybe more than anything, that might be the most important thing that they need to take into the postseason.
Absolutely, and they certainly pressured Wyoming right from the beginning all day today. This Desmar Jackson kid, I mean, you can tell he's talented.
He just,
Belfield, whoever was on him, was just bothering him so much he couldn't take care of the ball. And, I mean, if you put that kind of pressure on a team like Utah, that's going to be a key, and I really think that that'll take them a long way.
Yeah, and they lost J.D. Luster, their starting point guard, to a pulled groin at the half. He only played 10 minutes. It was kind of the same situation with that they had in that TCU game about a week and a half ago, where, you know, look, the other team's only got one ball handler. Let's swarm them. And, you know, Utah is maybe has fewer ball handlers than anybody in this league. You know, they've got a couple guys that can attack in Durcha and Brown, but really no true point guard.
Absolutely, and it's just a late night game. I know it's the last one kicking off. Really just need to bring the pressure early defensively. That's going to be huge. And I just think they're hitting their stride right now, UNLV, especially just everybody defensively looking good.
Yeah, so UNLV getting healthy again, both on the stat sheet and physically. Let's talk past the Mountain West tournament a little bit, maybe. You know, let's see how we see this shaping out. Look, as we're doing this podcast, San Diego State still has yet to play today, but you know, as they're, no matter what, they are going to be the four seed, and Air Force and Wyoming will be playing in that play-in game. The winner of that getting New Mexico on Thursday. You're going to have San Diego State getting Colorado State again. That should be a good matchup. And you're going to have BYU against TCU. And BYU, of course, just smashed TCU today. Is this a league that you think – I'm kind of the opinion that if the top four seeds make it through to the semifinals – This very well could be a four-bid league. Do you think all four are deserving?
I definitely think all four are deserving. I don't know if it'll happen, but I think it should. I mean, if you look at these four teams, I honestly believe if they're at their best, they can play with anybody in the country. And I think that, I mean, this league's just kind of weird. I think there's kind of a huge discrepancy between the top and the bottom. It wouldn't be exciting from an upset standpoint and everything, but I think it would be great for the league for all four teams to win on Thursday next week and have those guys go at it in those last 2 days. That would be huge, and I think the Mountain West could have a real strong showing in the tournament. I mean, I'd be stunned if one of these teams didn't get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I totally agree, and you know, you're right. For upset's sake, it doesn't say much, but, I mean, what a great Friday and Saturday that could make for if these four teams make it through. And now, you mentioned one thing earlier. You mentioned that discrepancy, and, you know, look, while the top four teams in this league are good, the bottom three are awful. Do you think that hurts this league, or when comparing it to other mid-majors?
Maybe, but at the same time, I think maybe Colorado State coming on late here helps, because I think you might – if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I think I'd put them in the group with the other three. It's just an awful team. But if you look at them now, they gave New Mexico a great game. Of course, won today. So now I think Colorado State and Utah are both kind of in that middle range. And, I mean, look, every league has bad teams. It's just that this league has some really bad teams. I don't know how much it'll hurt the league in the end. I mean, if all four of these teams take care of business and win in the first round.
Yeah, and now UNLV fans have to do a little bit of scoreboard watching tournaments like the Missouri Valley, where Northern Iowa and Wichita State are going to play tomorrow. If Wichita State wins, that's going to take an at-large away from somebody, as Northern Iowa is probably in. And, you know, leagues such as the Horizon League, where if Butler doesn't win, that's going to take an at-large away from somebody. So, you know, the best thing UNLV can do is just win, because if they're taking three teams, UNLV's got a better shot than San Diego State if they go equal distance in the Mountain West tournament.
Right. So just root for those Shockers. My hometown Wichita to choke tomorrow. Don't. That's all you gotta. Oh yeah, you gotta root for them to choke, right?
Yeah.
And lose. That's what I meant. Not okay, not to yeah. win. Yeah, yeah. You gotta root for you and I, the Golden Panthers. So
we've got their best player back after serving a 3-game suspension for a DUI.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. Cedar Falls.
I guess it's not that serious in Northern Iowa.
Yeah, in Cedar Falls, they just Golden Panther basketball. You know, got to get the boys back on the floor.
They're like the Dillon Panthers. They can get away with anything they want.
Exactly.
Man.
Ali Farouk Manesh is definitely Tim Riggins.
we're gonna halt the Friday Night Lights talk right there, because I'm sure some people out there are gonna get lost if we keep going. But any final comments from this game? Any one final thing you want to get out there? Like you mentioned, the seniors. Good to see them go out and. A nice moment for Chop Jones with the hitting the baseline jumper.
Yeah, I mean, I loved that moment for anybody that might have left early when it looked like Chop wasn't going to score in his last game, but hit a long jumper, and I mean, the place went crazy. It was probably the loudest it was all day, since this game was kind of a downer in terms of competitiveness, but Chop hit the last shot, and to much rejoice from Rebel fans.
Mine was Anthony Marshall almost hitting his first three since I think the second game of the season. He's 1 for 24 this year from 3-point range, and he missed one, or he hit a shot deep from straight on, but had his foot on the line. I was a little disappointed. I wish it would have been a three, but
I think he made up for it with that. That was a great alley oop from Trey to him, I believe. Yes. That was one of the prettiest.
He always makes up for it with the athleticism.
Yeah, exactly.
So, for Case Kiefer, I'm Ryan Green. We'll be talking to you later this week when the Mountain West Tournament gets underway. Thanks for logging on to LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. Stay here for all your UNLV coverage needs, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.